Mutual News in New York. I want you to meet some of Mutual's men on the move in news capitals around the world.
Alan Thomas of Reuters in Moscow.
Ian Mitters, Mutual News, Beirut.
Joseph Reed, Mutual News, Saigon.
John Snyder, Mutual News, Berlin.
Alexander Chancellor, Reuters in Rome.
Aaron Pearl, Tel Aviv.
In addition to our correspondents around the world, there is our highly skilled staff of Washington reporters covering the fast-moving events in the nation's capital, along with the specialists in our New York headquarters who assemble, write, and report the news as it happens over more than 550 local affiliated stations. You're listening to one of these Mutual affiliates now, offering the best in entertainment, information, and public service. And that means hundreds of additional men on the move to keep you informed locally, nationally, and worldwide. Stay tuned to this Mutual station, and you'll stay on top of what's happening everywhere.
Tom Blair, Mutual News, New York.
This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
And WLOL Twin Cities Weather Talk, the forecast calling for cloudy skies this morning. Partly cloudy during the day with little temperature change. Variable cloudiness, a little warmer tonight and tomorrow with a chance of some snow late tonight. Low this morning, 28 degrees. High today, 40. Low tonight, 32. The high on Saturday, 48 degrees. Currently in the metropolitan Twin Cities area, winds out of the west at 12 miles per hour. Humidity 78%. The barometric pressure continues to fall from 29.90. We've got cloudy skies, very light snow falling in the Twin Cities, and the WLOL temperature rating now 33 degrees. At 12:08, I'm Ron Fisher. Next news on WLOL at 1 o'clock.
The opinions expressed are not necessarily those of WLOL, its management, or sponsors.
Call WLOL Open Line, 698-5566.
And now, from Minneapolis, St. Paul,
WLOL,
the talk of the Twin Cities, continues with Open Line.
I dig rock and roll music and love to get the chance to play. About the happiest sound going down today.
Hey, it's 11 minutes past the hour of 12 midnight. Good morning to you. This is a Friday, the 19th day of November, the 323rd day of the year. There are 42 days left in the year. Hey, what happened? Let's take a look at 1954. That was about the time rock and roll got started. On this date in 54, it was announced that the U.S. would build a radar warning system across Arctic Canada. Remember that one, Sam?
That was before my time.
That was before Sam's time. Back in 62, a jazz concert was held at the White House for the first time as Mrs. John Kennedy entertained the teenage children of foreign diplomats.
That I wasn't at either.
They didn't invite you either.
What do you get a girl with that kind of a house?
That's true. Happy birthday today to Indian Prime Minister Gandhi. She's 54 today.
What do you get her?
I don't. What kind of house does she have, though?
I don't know.
Former baseball star Roy Campanella is 50. And TV entertainer Dick Cavett, who sounds just like me, is 35. He's older than I am. No wonder he's on television.
Well, that's right. He's had more experience.
Certainly. Here's a thought for the day by Mortimer Collins, famous English writer.
Will we ever forget him?
Will we ever forget him? A man is as old as he's feeling, a woman as old as she looks. Profound.
Marv, I'd like to write that down.
It's a good thing there's a comma there. We have 12 past the hour. In case you haven't guessed, we have a guest. We're going to talk about the great days of rock and roll music, which is kind of a laugh, because I don't know that the guys who were playing the music at the time thought it was great or thought much about it at all. Sam Sherwood is here, and Brad calls you Sammy Sherwood. Which one did you go by, or do you go by?
I went on the air by Sammy Sherwood.
Sammy Sherwood.
And why, I don't know, because Sherwood isn't really my name either.
See? Actually, it's George Finkel here with us, friend.
No, it's Loretta Young.
Loretta Young.
I changed it for obvious reasons.
I can understand that. Sammy Sherwood, why don't we start with how you got involved in this business, and then we can talk about a good many years you spent in rock radio here in Twin Cities.
Well, I got started, Marv. I guess I got interested in the service. The day I became 17, I graduated from high school and joined the United States Navy, which I thought was a brilliant, groovy move.
We're proud of you.
Because it took me away from America and the world for 4 years, and I forgot everything. Everybody I ever knew disintegrated.
This was back during Admiral Byrd and
yeah,
those
this
days.
Was going over the pole for the first time.
I see.
And we that's the first time a penguin was seen, and was really great.
Mm-hmm.
Then we came back and we hitched up with a guy by the name of Columbus, and we came over. And that was 1948. And I got interested in radio while I was in the service, and I was a radio operator. At the Wavesbury. No, I was radio operator. And one evening, it was we were out to sea. We happened to be on a ship that was going around the world for about the 40th time, and we never hit port, and the morale was just atrocious. So the captain figured that all the circuits were taken up with different kind of combat missions where the planes would come in and hit the end of the carrier and drop into the water, and they'd
Good.
Fish them out. It was a kind of a fun thing they did on the carriers. And so the morale was so bad that the captain said, we've got to do something with the guys on the ship. I have these eight records. There was Ziggy Elman and Benny Goodman and Rosemary Clooney come out of my house,
mm-hmm.
and Slow Boat to China, and what the heck were, I can't remember what the other ones were, but anyway, thought, well, we should play those records on the public address system. If we could rig up a turntable, it would run 78 RPMs. So they did. We took it back to the technicians, and they put the whole thing together. And we sat there and played one record after the other. And pretty soon the guys started to send in requests. And we started to read them between the records.
Mm-hmm.
Same eight records every night. Same
right.
ones. And we did a whole hour and a half every night with the same eight records. Finally, it got to be tough seas out, and we broke a couple, and then we did the show with, it got down to about three records.
I see. And you started to sing, and that canceled the program.
Yeah, we tap danced, we did the whole number, the whole bag, and but it was a great morale builder, and it got to be dirty radio. You know, everybody in radio says, what if we could get to be dirty radio and say all kinds of things that we wanted to say? Well, that we did, because it was within the ship's decks, and it was great for the crew. So, after getting discharged, I had the GI Bill, and of course all this radio experience under my belt. I knew music now.
Right.
At least five records.
At least.
And I entered college, went to Hamline University, and thought that I would play football and hockey and do all the things that I was out of shape 4 years ago to do. And after a long tenure at college, I think it was, I think I went into about the fifth week. And then I decided I knew everything there was to know there.
That's long enough, yeah.
Yeah, a guy can't...
Small college like that, there's not much.
A guy can't get overloaded with knowledge.
That's
it's ridiculous.
That's right.
Because you get loaded up so much, and there's nothing left to fill in there. So, anyway, after leaving that long tenure at college, I thought that I would get a job in broadcasting, being that I was so well-experienced. I went into my first radio station. And if they were looking for a writer, and they said, have you ever written? And God knows how many letters I wrote home. And I said, well, of course I wrote. So they said, okay, you're our writer. And that's how I began.
And was that in Twin Cities?
That was, I was a cowboy disc jockey. I was Side Saddle Sore Sam. And I worked for Vic Tedesco.
Hey, is that right?
Yeah.
What was the station?
W. Cow in South St.
Paul.
First commercial radio station I worked in.
WCOW?
Yeah.
WCOW?
Yeah.
What has it turned into? Is it still with us?
Well, yes. It turned into WISK, WISC, and then from there it went to KDWB. Of course, I had left there and gone to other great roots of stardom in
right.
between.
Haven't we all? So you really did end up, the first time you got on the air commercially was as a... not a country western, because I guess it was cowboy music then, back then, wasn't it?
It was cowboy. We played
Gene Autry, Roy Rogers kind of cowboy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sons of the Pioneers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, geez. Brought a tear to my heart.
South St. Paul, Stockyard Town, and all that sort of
tie-in. But the people, the loyalty in those days, that was 1952 or 53. The loyalty in those days, there weren't as many radio stations on the air as there are now. WLOL was on the air, I think, then playing... they had the big five, I think, were on the air then. I can't remember who in the heck they were, like...
I've still seen some of their promotional material, as a matter of fact, floating around here.
Oh, it was... maybe Roger Kent was one of the guys.
a friend of Ron Fisher's, no doubt.
Oh, let's see. I can't for the life of me. Boyson? Bill Boyson? Bob Boyson? Voicin' with Voicin'.
Here comes Ron with the big five on the tip of his tongue.
What was it? Music by record, Voicin' by Boysen?
Yeah, that's it.
Right.
Voicin' by Boysen. Those were the big days. Right.
Jack Thayer, I think, was on, too. Jack Thayer with Boysen. But we stood over there and played our cowboy.
Played your cowboy music. Well, what happened to Sammy Sherwood after W Cow, before KDWB?
Well, I went from there into disgust of the radio business. I thought since, there I had a whole year under my belt, I might as well go right to stardom.
Right. Why wasn't CBS calling?
No, I left the radio business. I went into engineering. I was going to be a chief engineer. And after I was there for a couple of weeks, I thought, well, there's the solder gun and the wrenches and the whole thing. I said, geez, this is simple, man. Now that I'm chief engineer, we've got to go up the ladder.
Right.
But I happened to see all the salesmen, going out and making all those sales calls and generating
white shirts
all
and
of
ties.
Those. Yeah, and coming to work like regular folks instead
right.
of midnight till
right.
like old
yes.
Marv does.
Yes, yes.
So I kind of got involved in getting in that end of it. But the real love was for the talent end of it because I dug being on the air. And I just had a ball. It was just a party for me to be on the air. And I couldn't imagine that I was getting paid for this. It was just a gas.
When did you... You went back then on the air?
Yeah, I went back on the air. And then I went into motion pictures and wrote and produced and directed and demolished and came back.
Lost a lot of money.
Yep.
Starved a lot.
Yeah, and I came back into radio when Crowell Collier bought WISK and changed it to KDWB.
And when was that in terms of
that
year?
That was September 15th, 1959.
What a good lead-in. I tell you what we'll do. There just happened to be a rock and roll revival in town last Saturday night in St. Paul. Why don't we play little bits out of some of the artists that were there, and most of them were playing right around 59, I would guess. Bill Haley was still heard from, although not too much by 59.
That was like a Goldie Oldie Stacks Away.
Right.
Here he is.
Well, if you'd like to introduce, we have Bill Haley. Why don't you give us a
can't even remember how he did it.
I was trying to think about that the other night, too, and trying to think of what I was. I think I was a man of music at one time or something, but it fades quickly.
Rock around the studio, or your mind gets psyched into doing a show, and you get psyched into comedy, and your mind works that way, and you
uh-huh.
keep working that way, and you keep progressing. But if you're not doing it every day, it's like fixing cars. The 72 models comes out, and you throw the tools away and start over again.
Actually, I guess I'd probably introduce the record like this. Well, let's take this record next on line one.
1, 2, 3, what crap, 4 o'clock, rock. He better not take a ringer from me.
Well, there's a couple, two out of three at least. The last one was Buddy Holly doing Bo Diddley instead of Bo Diddley doing Bo Diddley. And in the middle was the Dovells from Philadelphia, as the guy said, who was at the place. We got to take a break here, Sam, so maybe let's do that. And then let's kind of start out with the new KDWB and talk about how that got itself on the air. And I am sure, as with all new stations, just barely.
I'm trying to forget, but...
Yeah, we just keep bringing it back. This is Open Line, 24 past. Hey, we have lines available. If you'd like to join the conversation, talk to Sammy Sherwood. Give a call, 698-5566. This is Open Line. I'm Marv Gatch.
The talk of the Twin Cities. WLOL Bulletin Board.
Fantastic at 24 minutes past the hour of 12 midnight. Oh! Fisher, we get you playing records. You've been out of the business so long, he clutches up on the bulletin board for this hour. Alumni and friends of Gustavus Adolphus College will honor their conference... Oh, this is the one I don't like to read because it's a stag. They'll honor their conference co-champion football team at a stag dinner. I think all you female football fans from Gus ought to show up. It'll be held Monday evening, the 29th, 6:45 p.m. at the Sheraton Motor Inn. Details can be obtained by calling 935-2566. Hey, listen. just talk to you big men out there who have trouble sometimes finding clothes big enough for you. If you have not yet visited Robinson's Menswear in downtown St. Paul, you really haven't found the place to go. Your one-stop shopping center for big clothes. Robinson's has famous brand-name shirts up to size 22 neck, pants up to size 60, and a big, big selection of big-size jackets and heavy outerwear for the winter. Robinson's also has all those hard-to-find items that the big man sometimes just can't seem to find anywhere. For instance, BBD athletic suits, button down the front, button on the shoulder, Hanes union suits, long leg, long or short sleeves, coveralls in white hickory stripe or dark green, Bailey, bib overalls, Lee work pants, 29 to 60 waist, shoes to match, and blue denim jackets. I wonder if you got blue denim shoes. Probably not. Button front or zipper. How about blue suede shoes? Probably not either. But lots of clothes for you at Robinson's Menswear, from painter overalls to suspenders to caps and hats in all sizes. Best thing for you to do is to visit Robinson's Menswear, 55 East 7th Street, downtown St. Paul. If you'd like to call ahead and see if they got what you're looking for, you do that. Just dial 222-6181. 222-6181, Robinson's Menswear, St. Paul.
WLOL weather.
Hey, forecast says cloudy this morning, a low of 28. Partly cloudy Friday and a little bit warmer through Saturday, but a chance of snow Friday night, so I guess not a whole bunch warmer. Our high Friday 40, low Friday night 32. Right now, outside 33 degrees, cloudy skies.
WLOL
1330. This morning at 9, it's Brad Johnson. Who was doing rock in the Twin Cities before KDWB came on the scene?
Anybody? KDGY. Yeah.
KDGY.
Yeah, they began in 56. And that was the lineup of Brother Bill Bennett and Jack Thayer and Don Loughnane and, I can't remember. Maybe Jimmy Ramsburg was on, too, who's now over at KSDP.
Were they the first music and news, so to speak?
They were
station?
The first ones that came in the market with this dirty thing called rock and roll, because that was the dirty word.
Oh, yeah.
And if you went around to sell rock and roll to salesmen, they would say, oh, those kids, they listen to that thing, they're sick, our whole generation is going to pot.
And so the same, they same used stuff, a different definition for pot in those days, though.
Oh, of course, yeah. And that meant something cylindrical with a bottom on it.
Oh, yeah, I remember under the bed.
It wouldn't
under
stay lit.
Yeah, okay.
But they came on, and the first crack out of the boxes, I remember somebody mentioned that their advertising rates were, they came in and they were asking $25 for a commercial of any way, shape, or form on that radio station. And, of course, $25 for a commercial on a radio station
in 56.
In 56, even WCCO didn't charge that much.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just phenomenal. And they came on, and of course the migration to the frequency was just enormous. They were going such gangbusters, and they were having such a ball. And everything that rock and roll radio was, they did.
Yeah.
And then in 1959 is when we came in.
This was KDWB.
Yeah, that's
new call letters.
Yeah, Crow Collier began at KFWB in Hollywood, and they were the first rock and roll station in Los Angeles.
Mm.
And that was what amazing perception. You know, here's a market, one of the second largest market in the country. And here somebody says, hey, let's do rock and roll music in Los Angeles. Nobody had ever thought of it until 1958. Can't imagine. I thought,
58?
1958.
My goodness.
And I would think that would be the first market that somebody would just blow apart with rock music. Well, then they had KFWB there. Then they bought a station in San Francisco, KEWB. Then they bought KDWB here. And all three were programmed similar, and all the same guys were. It was a great organization. Some of the greatest people in broadcasting, in rock broadcasting, were with Crow Collier. Gary Owens was probably the most prominent who was with Crow Collier.
Gary Owens is the Laughing announcer now.
Yeah, yeah.
And he also still does a music show, doesn't he, in the West Coast?
KMPC, yeah. He's his trademark is listen to Gary Owens between 3 o'clock on KMPC. Super
I like
clever
that.
Cat.
Yeah.
Super clever.
Yeah. How does a station come into a large market like the Twin Cities with a format which is very similar to an already existing station which has the edge on you? What do you do to break loose the listeners?
Well, Crow Collier was very promotion and program-oriented and very contest-oriented and very unique. What was being done in rock radio then by McClendon and by Storrs Broadcasting, which was DGY, and McClendon was another big rock broadcaster in the country. They played the music, and they didn't have the entertainment value that Creel Collier had between the records. They said, you know, anybody can play the records, but nobody can entertain between the records. And their conception of entertainment between the records was a new phase. And you had to be... You had to go through the Creel Collier School of Broadcasting to be on the station. I went through a school and was completely annihilated. How to deliver comedy, how to be an entertainer, how
Seriously?
To write it.
Seriously? They're
over
the school?
Oh, yes.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, and we went through an indoctrination period, which probably most people would have gotten out of the business. But once you got through it, it was an enormous experience, just the most fulfilling thing. And you really knew how to communicate with an audience that... little different things when you're talking to the microphone, you're talking to one person, you're always using the element of you and all of these things that were fed into it and then elaborated upon and making them part of the entertainment entity of the program.
There's been a running battle amongst program directors in rock music between that that class on the one hand who says the music is what the audience wants to hear, and if the more music you play, the more audience you get. And the other type, which is saying what you're saying, no, you need some entertainment, anybody can play a record. And I can recall in Des Moines, as the stations would change hands and get a new program director, it'd swing from all music, no talk, to lots of talk, lots of contest, lots of entertainment. I guess you had kind of the battle royal here then, with one station playing mostly music and the other trying to entertain also.
It's always been a battle, and it's always been a lot of fun. Competition is healthy, and it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
With the stations then, it was, KDWB was new, brand new in the market, and of course, DGY had been there for 3 years, and people were ready for something new. Well, you can go so long, and then people want something new again. It keeps changing over.
Yeah.
And even today, you know, it'll go somewhat back and forth, and at the moment, I think probably KD. Of course, there are a lot more entities in it, too. Now, there are a lot more pop music outlets. There are different degrees of pop music.
That's right.
There's KQ, there's KD, there's DGY, there's...
KRSI.
KRSI,
WWTC.
Yeah, many stations. And WAYL, I got to mention that, Mark.
I've heard of that. Pop music? Well, let's talk about that, too. Let's talk about the whole range of broadcasting. But first, the old clock on the wall says that we should take a break. That's not rock radio. That's 1930s radio. This is Open Line on WLOL AM and FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul. I'm Marv Gatch.
WLOL 1330.
WLOL's 48-hour repeater rule was instituted to make talk radio more interesting.
Call WLOL Open Line, 698-5566.
And now, from Minneapolis, St. Paul,
WLOL,
the talk of the Twin Cities, continues with Open Line.
Go to town and Mary bought Uncle John. He claimed he had the misery, but he having a lot of fun. Oh, baby, yes, baby, woo, baby.
Well, little Richard there, and we're back with Open Line, Marv Gatch here, and Sam Sherwood here. I'm looking at a KDWB Discoveries with Sam Sherwood lounging on the edge of the K, Hal Murray sitting on top of the K, Randy Cook, WWTC, Brown Institute, lying on the D, Bobby Dale, Bob Friend, Lou Riggert,
yeah.
Art Way, and Don Duchesne. I know that Don and Randy are in town. Sam is. How about the other guys?
Hal Murray, the last I heard, was on the beach down in Miami.
Oh, must be tough.
And Bobby Dale, the last I heard, was in some commune in San Francisco.
Hmm.
And Bob Friend is in Akron, Ohio. And Art Way is in San Diego, California.
Well, just goes to show how you can start in a small market like the Twin Cities, work your way up.